Let's freaking go. Alexander the Great, we got to lead off with this breaking news. His jersey will be retired. Charles Alexander, if you are from yesteryear and you remember the good old days of LSU football before the real national championship era of the 2000s to where we are now, Alexander the Great, the first 4,000-yard rusher, a three-time Power Hour LSU guest, and he will be on with us Tuesday night. He might jump on tonight. I just got off the phone with him, and we're pretty excited about Charles Alexander, one of our favorites, a guy that has sent me one of his autographed jerseys. Super excited. He was my dad's favorite player growing up. He was Skipper and quite a few of our patrons' favorite player growing up. And, of course, the first of many great LSU running backs. But that wasn't what we were even going to talk about tonight. Obviously, we're going to show some love to an LSU legend. I don't know for sure if it is a jersey retirement where his jersey won't be worn at all. It could just be a Ring of Honor situation. I don't know. Okay. It's very, very, very interesting. I do want to talk about Bill Connelly's SP Plus. We talk about it every single year, and it's one of the most accurate and respected analytics that we have in college football. And if you're listening via iTunes or Spotify, or if you're just watching on YouTube, you could see for yourself that LSU is ninth in Bill Connelly's preseason SP Plus rankings. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, you go back to 2019 LSU. You know, we use that year as a point of reference quite a bit. Fourth was LSU's preseason ranking when it comes to SP Plus. If you were to ask me today, do I agree with LSU being the ninth best team in all of college football? I would say that that's pretty accurate. If you want to put them a little bit higher, if you want to put them a little bit lower, that is perfectly fine as well. What I would also tell you is you look at the top seven teams. So Ohio State's one, Alabama's two, Penn State three, Georgia four, Texas five, Notre Dame six, Oregon seven, Clemson eight, and of course, LSU number nine. Michigan number 10, Ole Miss number 11. Now, what do those teams not have that LSU does have? That is a first-team quarterback or a first-year starter at quarterback. Ohio State more than likely will have Julian Sain at quarterback. Alabama will likely start Ty Simpson. Penn State, they return Drew Allar, but you go to Georgia, Texas, that is obviously Gunnar Stockton and Arch Manning. Notre Dame more than likely will start C.J. Carr. Oregon, Dante Moore. And then, of course, you have Clemson returning Cade Klubnik, who we play in week one. And then Michigan, we don't know exactly what they're going to do. It could be Bryce Underwood. It will be a first-year starter more than likely. And then Ole Miss at 11 is starting Austin Simmons, a first-year starter as well. So, even though analytically those teams look a little bit better than LSU, a lot of volatility at the quarterback position. At least we have an idea of what Garrett Nussmeier is as a QB. And then, of course, you take a look at the offensive SP Plus ranking for LSU. 40.7, that is the second best offense in all of college football per Bill Connelly's rankings. And his defensive SP Plus is 18.6, which to him is 23rd in all of college football, which I think is a little interesting to me. I thought that that number would be higher or at least even with the SP plus offensively. And then special teams, I wouldn't pay too much attention to that. You do also see, though, that LSU has the ninth hardest schedule per his analytics. Another thing that sets up really nicely for LSU on the schedule when it comes to in-conference teams, Alabama's number two, you play them. Clemson's number eight, you play them. But you don't have to play number one, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number 10. And then you don't have to play 12 or 13. Now, you do have to play 14, 15, and 16. But, you know, it's still nice to know that you are missing out on some of these heavyweights. And you also have to play number 17. But truth be told, this schedule is going to be tough. LSU is going to be a tough team that other teams will play as well. All right. This is about where I thought Bill Connelly would have us. I did not think he would have us as the second best offense. And once again, this is his metric. So there's his subjective inputs, but it's also objective based on his inputs, if that makes sense. Now, what all goes in to this ranking? Well, number one, returning production. I will say the reason why offensively I thought they weren't going to be that high is because Bill Connelly has said in the past that he has put more weight into returning production on the offensive line. But you do return your center and DJ Chester, and you also have all the transfers coming in, okay? Recent recruiting, obviously LSU has recruited at an extremely high level, and then recent history. LSU has been good under Brian Kelly. Now, they've not been elite, but they've basically been ranked every season under Brian Kelly. A lot of that due to Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, and then, of course, last year, guys like Aaron Anderson, and so on and so on. So, pretty excited about that. Actually, really freaking excited about that. So, once again, start off the show talking about Charles Alexander. He will be on the show next week. And there you go. Let's see. Might have a guest coming on here in just a second. I do want to apologize if you hear my voice being congested. I took last night off. And it's in large part because of this sickness. And it's nothing crazy. I've dealt with illnesses in the past. And we just power through. That's all we do. Let me see here. All right. We will have a very special guest coming up in just a second. And it's coming up pretty soon.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. We keep it moving. I'm sorry I had a little cough that I had to deal with. It might happen a few more times. But we do have a third time PHL guest. It won't be Charles Alexander tonight. That'll be next week. But we go to H-Town Creole, year four for Coach Brian Kelly. We're bringing the Natty back to Baton Rouge. Now, let's go to Chance. So when LSU retires a number, is it off limits or just honored? I know 21 is retired, but it's been worn lately. Okay. So, yes, number 21 is retired. Okay. And that famous number 21, actually, as many of you know, I collect all legendary LSU autos. And that number 21 actually belongs to Blake Ruffino. He has a card with them every time he does a show. Okay. And, you know, it is strange when you say a jersey is retired and you still see it be worn. You know, this is how I feel about jersey retirements. Okay. In soccer, they don't retire numbers. They don't. It's something that happens in all other sports. Now, as far as the jersey numbers themselves, a single digit just matters more. It just does. It is very, very, very valuable capital. You just see it. And the lower the digit, the better. I don't know exactly why that is. You see that basically in all sports. You guys know I'm a jersey number nerd. I don't think the number will be officially retired. What I find to be interesting, though, is there have been LSU number 37s, and Tommy Casanova's number is illuminated on Tiger Stadium's stadium, as many of you know. So I don't know exactly how that's going to work. What the irony is nobody has worn number 9 since Joe Burrow, and nobody has worn number 5 since Jaden Daniels. Are those numbers retired? And let's just say Charles Alexander, his number is just retired. Nobody can wear it anymore. Well, if that's the case, then that is your third single digit that's not going to be worn ever again. Okay? So it's important to factor that in, okay? So who's currently number 4 on LSU's roster? Well, there's two, all right? There's Monsieur Delane on defense and Nick Anderson on offense. I'm just telling you, it matters. It matters a lot more than you think. It may or may not swing NIL. I'm serious. If you can get someone a single, okay? I think they're overrated, but everybody likes it. Okay. If I were advising, in particular, a basketball player who can wear any number, it's not position specific, I would pick an obscure number. because people will remember you. It matters. It really does matter. Okay. So we'll see. I mean, there have been quite a few great number fours at LSU. But has there been one better than Charles Alexander? Probably not. Alfred Blue wore four. Young Caleb on Chason wore four. How about this? Jai Eugene wore number four. How about this? Walker Howard's dad, Jamie, wore number four. So, yeah. But 37's been worn. Carnell Hatcher wore 37. LA Mom, Harold Perkins. So you can make a case that freshman Perk has been the best number four. You make a very strong case. But Charles the Great wore it all 4 years. First 4,000-yard rusher. Am I severely biased? Yes. Was it kind of cool to talk to him? That's why the live stream was pushed back just a little bit tonight. Yeah, it was cool. Very cool. We're going to have him on again pretty soon, though. Okay. You know, the next thing I would bring up as far as recruiting is concerned, before we get to our next guest here, I do think the 2026 recruiting class is going to be good because every LSU recruiting class is going to be good. That's just always been the case. They haven't been outside the top 10 in a very long time. Okay. And that includes Brian Kelly's first recruiting class in 2022, which do you really even want to count that class? And honestly, that class was special, even though the recruiting rankings didn't see it that way. I do want to share, though, on Patreon, right now, one of our deepest dives yet was on the 2027 quarterback debate. This will be the biggest recruiting story for LSU. It kind of feels like the Bryce Underwood story, and it kind of feels like the Leonard Fournette story. That's how big it's going to be. And I don't mean to hyperbolize this at all. All right? Because the Fournette story was so big, we didn't take a running back in 2023, and everything was just pointing towards Leonard Fournette. And then you had the ESPN story, and then you had the Peyton Manning quote, and you have all those different things, right? Then you had the Bryce Underwood story. You had Colin Hurley reclassifying. By the way, saw a photo of Colin Hurley and Chris Hilton working out together in California, which is pretty cool. But the Bryce Underwood story obviously ended terribly. Leonard Fournette's story ended well. Here is the best news, and I mean the absolute best news about the 2027 LSU recruiting quandary, okay, is that it's going to end in good news. Because there are four top 100 quarterbacks that LSU will get to recruit and more than likely land, okay? So, there's Elijah Haven, who is a five-star kid right in your own backyard. Then you have Garrett Nussmeier's younger brother, Colton Nussmeier. He also has a fifth star on 247, okay? Then you have Peyton Houston. Let me make sure I get their recruiting rankings correct. Peyton Houston is a top 100 quarterback. He is currently ranked number 80 overall nationally. And I got a super chat talking about this quarterback class yesterday. And then you have Malachi Ziegler. Let me know if you guys can see that. Type Y for yes, type in for no if you can see that loud and clear. Hear me and see me loud and clear. Yeah, Malachi Ziegler right here. So I reached out to a guy that evaluates quarterbacks in particular in North Louisiana, which is where Malachi Ziegler and Peyton Houston are. And he told me that he feels Malachi Ziegler is the better prospect out of the two. And physically, he is really, really, really good. Has a lot of zip, a lot of juice, just plays at a lower level, and statistically not as prolific as the other QBs in this class. So, yesterday, last night, because we couldn't live stream, I was just so damn sick, I just decided to sit down and watch as much as I possibly could of all four of these quarterbacks. All right, Ziegler, Houston, Nussmeier, and Haven. And I saw something I have never seen before when evaluating quarterbacks. And I think there is a clear-cut one of those four right now that is the best quarterback of those four. You can check it out on Patreon right now, patreon.com/LSU football. Okay? It's a lot more complex than just numbers, stats, your recruiting ranking, your size, your speed. When I sat down and watched all four of them, one really stood out to me at this juncture. And once again, they're only high school sophomores going into their high school junior year. And overall, it's strange because a lot of your evaluations happen before they even play a down of football. But go to Patreon. Your mind will be blown. Your mind will be blown. I guarantee you. I would not BS you. All right. Before we get to our guests, Alexander, good to see you. Tennessee in the house. What's up, big dog? And Amicat, and we say hi to Pooh Bear.
What's going on, Carter? Long time, man.
There you go. I believe this is your fourth appearance on PHL.
I was thinking about this. I was like, it's a not many people get the honor to be invited on PHL this many times. And then I had to realize everybody else sucks. I'm amazing.
Yeah, you are. No Chill Sports, shout it out. So, look, you are a father of a college football player at Houston. So, update us on number 16 for the Cougars.
Yes. So, we actually had a change. Number 16, he's still number 16, but he is no longer a wide receiver, Carter.
Oh.
He has been moved to running back.
Uh-uh.
So he's competing at running back. Ironically, you know who is a new quarterback at Houston this year?
My guy, Mr. Connor Wigman.
And I asked, I said, how is it? Because I've talked so much trash about Connor Wigman. I had to start like just make sure I didn't put anything on Twitter. Amazing. From what I've heard, he can spin it. They can keep him upright. It's going to be pretty special in the Big 12. So,
shout out, Mr. Jason. I'm so excited. RB, yeah. Let's go. He's got juice, man.
Yeah, he also he got to run track in indoor and a little bit outdoor, which was great because, and I'm a little bit jealous of that because I don't know if I think I told you, you know who the track coach is, right, at Houston?
I had no idea.
Carl Lewis.
What?
Yes. What?
Oh, wait, that's not true.
There's yes.
No way.
Carl Lewis is the track coach at Houston, and he got to run with Carl Lewis, so. Yeah,
that's good. So for those that don't know Carlos, because we do have a younger audience, he is most famously known for singing the best version of the national anthem.
I told him, I said, whatever you do, don't ask him anything about singing. I said, because he may be in trouble. But
yes, I'm rooting for Jay Sean as always him. And I remember all your photos and your recruiting visits. I thought that was so cool. So 1-6, man. Your thoughts?
So you know who number 1-6 is on defense? And I actually met his parents and talked to him.
No, I did. I just looked at the roster. I have no idea.
Christian Braithwaite.
Oh, from LSU.
From LSU, yeah. So
it's crazy. Okay, TJ. I know you can't comment on this, Pooh Bear, but this is funny as
yeah. Me too. Listen, 2024 was a long time ago. I'll say it like that. It was a long time ago.
TJ, you're so stupid. TJ, you're so stupid. Oh my god. So you obviously attended games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you've seen AJ Halsey in person.
Yes.
I'm trying to get you on here to tell us about his game.
All right. So I when it was announced he was hitting the portal, I was like, oh snap. And people, and then the news started coming out. He's possibly leaning towards LSU. Started telling everybody, he is him. He is outstanding player. If you want to know the kind of player he is, go watch the TCU game. When they played against at the time, you know, Jack Besh. It was Jack Besh and two other wide receivers. All three were on the Biletnikoff watch list at the time. TCU had came to that game like red hot as far as passing. And if I'm not mistaken, he had two interceptions, I think five tackles in that game. Go watch that game. And that's like how he played pretty much every game that season. He was Houston and I know this may seem a little bit biased coming from me. Best defense in the Big 12, and he was the best defensive back on that team. So I think he is an amazing, amazing get for LSU. He's gonna be phenomenal. He's probably the best safety we've had in at least last two or three years. Probably since Greg Brooke was fully healthy.
Your thoughts on LSU's overall portal haul? We've not had you on since then.
Yeah. I truly love the portal haul. The only thing, and it's a little tricky. I wish we would have got a running back, just because that room is, honestly, before anything happened with Trey Holland prior to last season, I was screaming, we need another running back. We saw when we had eight running backs at one time.
I remember that.
And if people started getting hurt and like left and right, and it was getting really sketchy. And coming into last year, we had like, four, five? And with Trey Holly being out, it really got really tricky on how things and I think that as poor as we or people have commented on the running game and stuff like that, I think they, all things considered, you know, saying hindsight now being 2020, they managed that running back room pretty well to keep everyone at least fairly healthy. We know Durham's issues with his foot, but to have, you know, Josh Williams kind of carry the load, Caleb Jackson not be the Caleb Jackson we thought he'd be, but, you know, still to have those guys, you know, at least somewhat, you know, of a threat was amazing, you know. So
is this a playoff or bust year for you?
I think you have to get to the playoffs. We kept hearing year three came and went, and we're sitting here like, hey, you know, where's our ROI? What's, you know, $10 million a year, man? Come on. I'm going to be realistic. As of right now, I think we have playoff and honestly championship talent. it's going to all depend on how it comes together. And I hate to say it like this, because I hate to put this all on one person. What nuts are we going to get? Are we going to get a focused readiness, or are we going to get a nuts who, hey, I'm a starter, but I'm going to party. You can catch me in Tigerland, you know, Friday nights and on the field in Death Valley Saturdays. So that's my take on it. We've got to see a more productive nuts. Arm strength wise, talent wise, he's the best quarterback in the nation. Decision wise is where. Oh, Kim, sorry about that. I'm back. Can you hear me?
You're good. I was waiting for you to hop back in. Go on, keep going.
Yeah. No, it was just like I said, he's I think where I left off, you know, best quarterback in the nation is just like I said, the head part. That's it, man. I just want to see what he's gonna do.
So out of Peggy, she says playoff for Buzz, and Peggy's the biggest cheerleader there is. Yeah. Well, he's in LA right now working with this guy. Yeah, I also saw you know, we talked about Chris Hilton, Colin Hurley, mm-hmm. Getting some work in. I've been hearing some good things about Colin slinging that thing. I've heard some good things.
Also, one thing that does and I think Nuss is going to feel the pressure. It's no longer a, if I make two or three mistakes, who are they going to put in behind me? Because now you've got a guy who has some SEC experience, who can be a threat to, who may not start day one or may not even be looking to start this season, but you've got a guy who can come in and replace you if you're not careful. And that's a MVB. So.
So you like Michael Van Buren?
I think he was we praised Lagway at Florida. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about like me and you. I'm saying like, you know, the SEC, media and everything. Yeah, so, you know, praise Lagway. Compare his numbers to Van Buren and tell me what's different. Just if you look at the numbers, he's on a worse team. And put up similar numbers and less games. So
And tougher teams. I mean, Lagway played tough teams too, but like very tough teams, but Van Buren didn't have the easiest game he played was Arkansas.
Yeah.
So
the one thing I will say about this, Nuss has an advantage over, because I know like people like to compare the Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, you know, second year. Nuss has a huge advantage over them, in that he has been in this system a lot longer than those guys were in the system. He got to sit behind and watch, you know, Jaden, well, the year prior to that, Max. And I know it wasn't the same system, but he got to sit behind Max, at least get some experience. He got to sit behind Jaden. He got a full year to do his thing. And he has a familiar face coming back, you know, in his ear. I honestly think there's no excuse.
You're a big hoop head. And we had my favorite LSU basketball writer on yesterday, Matthew mm-hmm. Bruni. Okay. And I feel like weird talking as much LSU men's basketball as mm-hmm. I did last night, but the guy is a AU basketball coach, high level mm-hmm. AU basketball coach. You're arguably a bigger hoop head than me. All right. I liked what Matthew said yesterday. Tweeted, you probably saw it. I tweeted out a clip, and he said LSU will make the NCAA tournament next year.
I'll be honest with you. I just want us to compete. Win two or three games in the SEC tournament.
No,
give me to the NIT. I'll be happy.
No, dude, no. You can't. You can't in a year last year where 14 of the 16 teams in the SEC made the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. More than likely, it's going to be like 10 or 11 that make the tournament next year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they'll ever get 14. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right. Right.
I still don't. Dude, I can't get there, bro. I can't do that.
I want to believe it. Yeah, I want to believe the tournament, but and it can be done. Listen, Missouri did the same thing we did in 1 year. They turned around a program.
True, but the difference is Gates in his first year mm-hmm. made the tournament. So he had one really good year where he won a tournament game. Then he sucked. And then this last year, he was good again. He was really good.
Florida was literally about to fire their coach for off the court stuff.
But they were still.
And good. He won a championship.
So give me your honest opinion. I don't know anything about the recruiting class. Matthew listed all these guys' stats off. Are you familiar with these transfers a whole lot? You can be honest. That's fine.
I'm not. I've seen some of the stuff, and I'll see some names. And I see stats. And I'm like, oh, it looks good. Everybody's a champion on paper. Listen, Carter, I've won 3 NBA titles playing NBA 2K this month. It doesn't matter until, you know, things actually – I put it like this. With what I've seen from football and basketball, it has broken me almost like Saints football to where I'm like, I got to see it. I believe in them. I'm going to cheer for them, but I got to see it. So that's kind of where I think the football team I've got a lot of confidence in, but I still have to see it. The basketball team, we know what the punishment is Mac McMahon the guy to keep us going? That's, be honest.
Okay. I'm going to throw some fuel on the fire here because I doubt Mac McMahon likes me, which couldn't be further from there. I'm cheering for him. I like him. Right. He's not going to get us in trouble. He's a good guy. Like, people like being around him. I've spoken to some people, boosters, NIL, Bayou Tradition. Dude, they like him a lot. Players like it. I mean, it's not that I dislike. It's just you got caught in the wrong time to be an up-and-coming SEC coach with the freaking murderers that are in this conference. I mean, this is the strongest coached conference I've ever seen in any sport. Okay. Like, with all these freaking legends, Natty winners. I will say, Pooh Bear, before we went live tonight, is it okay if I put some gasoline on the fire? Is it okay?
Yes, please do. Okay. Please do.
Will Wade goes to NC State. All right. Mm-hmm. NC State had that miracle Final Four run. I give Kevin Keats all the credit in the world. Not a great coach overall. Okay, had that miracle Final Four run. All right. NC State has not been relevant in basketball since the great Jim Valvano. All right. They've just not done anything.
All right.
Will Wade gets there. And did you see what he did today?
No, I hadn't seen anything, so.
I am not a college football. I'm not a college basketball hoop head. But you will make headlines when you land the number one player in the portal. He did that today. They thought he was going to Kansas. He out-recruited Bill Self.
That's one thing he could always do is recruit. You can't take that from him.
Williams from Texas Tech.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
We need a freaking sledgehammer. We need to go get our heavy hitter. That's the only way we can compete. But I'm going to give McMahon this year. And if he makes, and all I want to do is just make a, I'm fine with Kim Mulkey. I'm fine with Jay Johnson. I'm fine with Brian. I'm fine with being elite in some sports. I can live with not being elite in basketball. I am happy with making the tournament once every other year. I would prefer, of course, to make it every year. We're not going to be Alabama. We're not going to be Florida, obviously, now. We're definitely not going to be Kentucky or Cal with Arkansas, all that. I just want to make the tournament once every other year. That's all I want.
Can I throw some more fuel on the fire?
All right, go ahead.
You didn't mention softball.
Oh, God. Now, before I get your thoughts on that, it is true. Our guy Bruni reported this a little bit earlier, that LSU did get a nice 2026 commitment, Matt McMahon, an Australian
golfer. Yeah, I did see that. I did see that.
Once again, I don't know anything about any of the players specifically because I'm in football mode right now. But if you want real detailed basketball breakdown, check out our guests from last night. But what would you do for LSU softball?
So she just, Beth Torino just got a huge contract. Last year, so the buyout is probably it's not too astronomical, but it's larger than you would want to pay for, you know, get rid of someone in softball right now.
Right.
They're in a unfortunate spot where they're going to have to ride this one out at least a year. At least. I've heard the grumblings. I'm not as down on LSU. I'm disappointed, but I'm not as down on LSU softball as most. You had, and I keep repeating this, there are 15 teams now in the SEC in softball, strictly because Vanderbilt doesn't field a softball team. Last year, all 15 teams made the tournament. The two that you added in Texas and Oklahoma were the champion and runner-up.
Okay.
So every week in conference play was a tournament game, NCAA tournament game. The team you lost to in Southeastern, you played your opening weekend, you only beat them by one run. In the two games that you lost in your regional, each game was by one run. I'm not trying to excuse it. I'm not saying it's okay. Southeastern was a very good team this year. 50-16. Had some big wins. Again, I'm not excusing it, but it's not like you lost to a bottom of the barrel, you know, terrible team. The embarrassment is you lost at home to Little Sister. You had home field advantage and you lost. Everything was where you needed to be and you lost it.
And you played badly. It wasn't like...
Exactly.
They didn't play unbelievably. I mean, they dropped pop flies in the infield.
Yes.
And dude, that's what really pissed me off, because softball's random. You can get beat by worse team. I mean, in any sport, that probably applies to baseball and softball the most. But it's that you didn't really play well in either one of the games, and that's what ticked me off. And you said Southeastern's a good team. They are a good team for a non-power. There were a few that said that going in. Mm-hmm. The problem is they lost by a combined score 22-1 in Nebraska. So, that's just what makes it worse. If Southeastern played some nail-biters versus Nebraska, sure, it could be that the girls of Southeastern were riding that high of being the LSU the first time, and then the second time was even sweeter. It was late at night. It was dramatic. Both games were dramatic, but I'm going to back Bet Torino and hope for the best. Now,
to add insult to injury, you also lost 2 years ago to ULL at home, similar fashion.
That you did. So let me ask you this, and thank you so much for hopping on. I am
no problem.
I'm dealing with like the worst sore throat. It's not so much a sore throat. Like, you probably didn't see it earlier. I was like having like a coughing spell. But let me ask you this. Theoretically, you get the breaking news today that the college football playoff will be seeded in order.
Yes.
So that means Boise State wouldn't have been the 3 seed. They would have been the 9 seed. Mm-hmm. And this is what the playoff field would have looked like. So let me ask you this, Sir Pooh Bear, the NBA 2K master. Who wins this college football playoff last year?
Only thing I would have put, call me crazy. I think Boise would have beat Indiana.
No, it's not crazy at
all. In that first round. I think Boise would have beat Indiana in that first round. I still think we would have ended up with Ohio State, Notre Dame at the end of the day. Just simply because, teams just got hot at the right time. Notre Dame, I don't know what the I can't even think of the guy's name, the coach that was at Northern Illinois. I don't know what he told Freeman. I don't know what he said. Hey, you got this weakness, fix this, and you're good.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I don't know what he said, but it worked. I need him to talk to Brian Kelly immediately, or in the words of T.I., expeditiously. I think Notre Dame was still the second best team in the playoffs last year. So I still think we end up with Ohio State, Notre Dame. I think Boise State ends up, beating Indiana. Arizona State, yeah, they get mollywopped. Tennessee wins. I think Georgia beats Tennessee. Ohio State, of course, I've already said them. Notre Dame beats Penn State. And so on and so on. I still think we end up at the end. The only difference, I think, is just Boise State gets a win on their resume if we end up like this.
I think it's, as Sam points out, I think it's Oregon versus Ohio State. You factor in a couple of the things, and I think a lot of people were turned off by Oregon because of how bad they got their ass kicked. Ohio State's second home is Rose Bowl. They were hot, like you said, at the right time. And Oregon just had that ridiculous layoff going into a game where Ohio State is welcome. Now, truth be told, Oregon was in a Rose Bowl a few years ago with Justin Herbert, but still it was a long layoff with the team that was already prepping for you before the Tennessee game, because they knew they were going to play you the next week, and they outcoached and outplayed you. I think it would have been Oregon and Ohio State, and I think we would have had a legendary national championship game because I felt Oregon and Ohio State were by far the two best teams. Now, that's yesteryear. You tell me if you like the playoff reseeding.
I do. The only thing I did not want to get rid of the automatic qualifiers for conference for the highest ranked 4 ranked conference champions. I think that is a great addition because it gives the group of 5 teams a chance to get in. What I did not want was like they did it where they kind of play this Chinese, maybe I shouldn't say it like that, but they also say Chinese checkers or 3D chess, where they try to seed everyone and move people around for the best. Don't do that. Let the chips fall where they are and play this thing out. College basketball, you win your conference, you get a ticket to the dance. That doesn't mean you're going to be a 1 seed. I completely agree with that. I think this would be great. It'll keep people from crying as much, but number 13 is still going to be upset. Don't listen to Matt Rule.
Oh, dude, 40 team playoff. Yeah,
shut up. Please shut up. He wouldn't make it with 40 teams. I don't care.
Yeah, 16. Would you be fine with 16?
I didn't want six. I didn't want 12. I thought eight would have been good.
Eight's perfect. Actually, six is perfect to me. Six is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, but, we went from 4 to 12, like it just massive expansion. And
I'm fine with 12. I'm also fine with 14. But 16 is really, really stretching it. And this is what I always say. If you go to the games, it hurts you because it devalues the game you're going to week after week after week. So I hate that. I really, really, really freaking hate that. We want Michigan, Ohio State to matter.
Yeah.
But we don't want it where both teams lose the game and it doesn't matter at all. They're both in.
You want to get funky? You really want to get funky? Let's do this thing like FCS. 11 game season, then have your playoffs and go from there.
Yeah.
They have like 24 teams, but it's still, but the crazy thing, because when they talked about expanding the playoffs, my argument was, and it's always, I like to have case study or have stuff to look at. Look at FCS playoffs. They have 24 teams. I want to say that's right. They have 24 teams. At the end of the day, the same three or four teams end up in the championship or the finals anyway. It's always Montana State or North Dakota State, South Dakota State,
the Jackrabbits.
Yeah, it's some kind of combination like that. Those teams always end up because you're going to have the cream of the crop is always, you know, they're always going to rise to the top. So you can Matt Rule is 40 teams. We can say all this crazy stuff. It's always going to be the best teams are going to make it.
How is life in Alabama?
Oh man, it's been, and I'm pretty sure y'all been getting it too. The rain has been killing us. We had Dylan was playing baseball this season again, and second year in a row. We had, I think the season started at the end of March. From March to the end of April, we played a total of 7 games because it rained every day and pretty much killed the season. So,
London, basically.
Damn. Yeah, it's been terrible. Outside of that, man, everything here, everybody's ready for football season. We're just ready to get going. I'm ready for media days to be here. I'm already trying to fill out application to go to these HBCU games, Alabama State, Alabama A&M, figure out when I can sneak away, catch a Jackson State game, see if I can possibly, you know, do a 2-for-1, go to Houston and catch a Texas Southern game.
What is that? I always ask you this when you're on, mm-hmm. because I don't follow HBCU as closely as you do. Okay. What is the biggest HBCU storyline going into next year?
It's probably Mike Vick and DeSean Jackson in the MEAC. Both of them are at first-year head coaches. They'll be in the same conference. They'll be playing against each other. But you got Michael Vick, who went to Norfolk State. And he has really revitalized that program. It's a lot of energy in there. And they were decent last year. I don't know if they'll win 4 or 5 games, but, dude, he's got that team like energized. DeSean Jackson has a way bigger uphill battle at Delaware State, but he's also brought some energy there. I think Vic is going to have a lot more success just because of location. He'll have a lot more success, a lot more chances to win. Delaware State is going to be hard to do anything there.
So where was Eddie George at HBCU?
He was at Tennessee State. Left That's Tennessee right. State for Bowling Green.
Why?
Yeah.
Was it just money or?
I I don't fully know. I'll have an answer for that probably in a couple weeks when I talk to my guy. Yeah, when I've got my guy from who covers Tennessee State a lot more, because we're gonna do every year we've been doing like we go around talk to all the D1 HBCUs and kind of get preseason picks and stuff and all that kind of stuff. When we talk Tennessee State, I'll have a lot more answers. But Tennessee State wasn't left in a bad position. They're in a bad position because of the timing of the leave, but. They actually got a really good coach. He was former NFL player, former coach at Alabama State, former coach at Virginia State, former coach of the DC Defenders in the UFL, Reggie Barlow. So he's there now. They basically replaced it's not the same, but they replaced a all-pro running back, NFL running back with a really damn good wide receiver, so yeah, he's going to come in and provide some spark for Tennessee State.
There we go. Can the Timberwolves come back and win this series,
dude? I've been talking about this like all day at work. This, and we talked about it last night on the show. This is by far the best NBA playoffs of not even just series, like the best playoffs period. We've had in at least 10 years.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I thought last year was great.
I thought last year was pretty good. This year, you can make a case for all four teams winning. I couldn't necessarily say that last year. I could say that, I think these teams are pretty good, and I could see where the Knicks finish it off. I can see where Indiana finishes off. I could see where the Timberwolves completely come out and they win by 25 points over OKC tonight.
I need it. I need it like air can breathe, man. I shared it with my guests last night. I have a huge Timberwolves future. So I need it.
So what do you need to win the finals or just make it to the finals?
No, I need them to win the finals. And it's two of my monthly YouTube checks. So I need it, and I'm not an elite sports bettor. I'm a winning sports bettor in my career, but definitely I spent a lot of time studying it. I made this play like months ago, so that's why I had such great odds on them when they weren't really doing so hot. But it was Naz Reid and Edwards. I think as good as SGA is, he's got more help. When Ant's on, he's as good as anybody, in my mind.
You're absolutely right.
Well, would you have given the MVP to SGA or Ryoka?
Yes, absolutely. I think that it may be a little bit of voter fatigue.
There's definitely some of that.
But I think that Jokic is very good, very deserving. This is the same as the Josh Allen over Lamar thing in my mind, where I think Lamar had a way better season. I mean, it's not even a question. He had a way better season than Josh Allen. But I also think that Josh Allen meant a lot more to Buffalo than what – Chance is funny. Josh Allen meant a lot more to Buffalo than what Lamar meant to Baltimore. I know it's crazy to say that. On the flip side of that,
I get you. I'm with you on that.
SGA is the same to me over Jokic. If Jokic is half of what he is, I think Denver still makes it. I think they could still would have made it as far as they made it. I think he's a difference maker, but he wasn't the difference maker, if that makes sense. So
who? Jokic?
Yeah. Yeah. He's special, but
I don't think Denver makes the playoffs if Jokic really? Does. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. Jokic is the first player to ever be top 10 points, rebounds, assists, and steals in a single season. First player in NBA history to do that on a per game basis. But he wasn't just top 10, he was top three in all four of those categories. Never been done. So yeah. If this was his best season, arguably, and he doesn't win the MVP, I understand it's not, this doesn't mean that you're for sure going to win the MVP, because SGA had a ridiculous season, yeah, a season we've not seen since Jordan. But, you know, I would have probably leaned Jokic, but I'm with you on the voter fatigue, and I don't think it's a ridiculous thing that happened. What I would say, though, is Embiid getting the MVP over Jokic is...
Yeah, that was criminal. Yeah, that was criminal.
I will never forgive any NBA voter when Embiid ducked Jokic during the heat of the voter. He load managed versus Jokic. I was like, that should never happen. Anyone that has a pulse should not give MVP to a guy who ducks the other guy. Like, to me, it's you know, that's like Evander Holyfield ducking Tyson. I mean, I'm not a big ducking guy. So there you go. Pooh Bear, I appreciate you. Big time.
No problem, man.
You're one of my favorite guests. You're one of my favorite media personalities. You're one of my favorite dads, going on all the recruiting trips and all that stuff. Mm. And congrats, man, under the PHO four-time club, man. Thanks. Still haven't been on No Chill Sports, though.
Yeah, hey, trust me, it's coming. We're only like four episodes in, so I may be doing the recruiting thing again like fairly soon. I've got a 17-year-old. Well, he's going to his junior year, 6'3", 270. Just started playing, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. So maybe a center. We're trying to figure it out. So
there you go. Give him a follow at No Chill Sports. Bang. I followed you on the other one, but there we go. Check it out. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon. Go have fun on 2K, man.
All right. Thanks. You guys have a good one.
All right, buddy. Pooh Air, as always. Now, I want to end talking to my LSU baseball. I meant to ask him about LSU baseball. They will play tomorrow night in Hoover. What I would say is it doesn't matter. Just enjoy it for what it is. I am so freaking happy they fixed the format of the SEC tournament. Single elimination is the best style of tournament. Now, I don't think that's how you should decide an actual baseball championship, which is why we have the regionals and super regionals. But for this to just be a single elimination tournament, I'm so glad the SEC fixed it. Okay. Now, the next thing I would say that I feel is important when it comes to the SEC tournament is to not get too high or too low, even if we get our ass kicked tomorrow. We should be able to have a national seed. That's when the fun begins. Regional and super regional action. I'll say it once. I'll say it again. College baseball's postseason is my favorite postseason in college sports for this reason. March Madness will always be number one, but I don't mind watching college basketball year-round. I'm fine with it. College baseball is really hard for me to watch year-round, especially if it is a non-LSU game, okay? The regional and super regional action is the best version of the sport of baseball that I have ever seen. It is so much better than a four-game or a seven-game series or anything like that. The pressure, the immediacy, all of it. And then to have this yearly tradition where the championship is decided in a mid-American city, it's just awesome. It's just freaking awesome, this format. And as someone who really loves formats more than anything else, this is what it's all about. It's what it's all about. I could do without the jello shots, but it does make it a little bit better. And am I a little bit jaded because LSU has more success in this tournament than practically anyone else? Yeah, it does make me maybe subconsciously like it a little bit more. But I will say, maybe it's because we had the Trey Morgan flip, ridiculous College World Series run the year before with Tommy Tanks and all them. But do you remember last year's series versus North Carolina? Holy shnike. All of those games were just stupid. They were all just so dumb. Okay? And you had the Milam walk-off versus, who was it, Wofford? I mean, it was just, the whole thing was just dumb. That bunt that went down the foul line was ridiculous. There's nothing better than this sport during regional and super regional action. I freaking helicopter in, and I feel like I'm freaking Ben McDonald as an expert. Nothing beats this sport. Nothing. Nothing. Okay. My wife says, do you want me to pick up something for dinner? I'm on my way home from the nail salon. Well, I was just getting ready to end the live stream. I'm actually cooking up something special tonight. No, I'm fine. Tonight, that's supposed to be saved for the end of the live stream. Next live stream will be Sunday night. We should know everything we need to know about LSU baseball. And there you go. Big shout out to our guest, Pooh Bear. This live stream is dedicated to the great Charles Alexander. Getting his number retired, he will join us next week. Okay. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing eggs and bacon. Breakfast for dinner. Let's go. Let's go.